Adonai Elohim Abba Father. I want everybody to repeat after me, Holy Father. Not only do I ask for your forgiveness, but I ask for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, and your correction, and your direction. I take authority in the name of Jesus. I cast down every thought, emotional attachment, corruptible seed, imagination, memory, sickness, disease, infirmity, fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, regret, false doctrines, false beliefs, false hopes, in the name of Jesus. And I bind my mind to the mind of Christ, my spirit, soul, body, and flesh, to the anointing of Christ, to your word, your promises, to the heart, mind, will, and desires of Christ, to the stripes of Christ that I've been healed, to the new life of Christ Jesus, to his image, likeness, and character, in Jesus' name, knowing that from this day forward, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things become new from this point on, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you turn to Mark 16? Mark 16. Did you bring your swords? If you didn't, use someone else's and don't take theirs. And I'll just use someone else's and tighten up and bring yours next time. The Bible tells us learn or burn. Hello. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge understood is truth. Where there's knowledge and understanding, it's light. Light exposes darkness. Darkness is deception. The reason why many people get all messed up is because there's deception in their life. In Mark 16, is everybody there? Are you ready? In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The word believe means to follow. So if you're here and you're saying you're a believer, but you ain't following, you're a liar. And you need to repent today and get back in order. It's time. Time's running out. There's not enough time to play games. There's either winners or whiners. Quit whining and start winning. Quit playing religion and get a relationship. Time is running out. It's not about what you believe. It's about what the truth is. You will not be judged on what you believe. You'll be judged by the truth. And these signs will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. You mean there's going to be a sign that follows me if I believe? Yes. You mean there's actually going to be a sign for those who are followers? Yes. And this is the first sign. I love it. In my name, they will what? They will cast out demons. Man, there's some people that just shake as soon as you mention the word demon. I ain't talking about no demon. No way. That's because they're loaded with them. Hello. Fear is a demon, isn't it? Lust is a demon. Lying is a demon. Greed is a demon. Come on. All of these things are demons. You either got them or you don't. Hello. And it's time to get rid of them. And he says, these signs will follow those who actually believe in my name, who actually follow me and willing to do whatever it takes. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. In other words, they will continue to seek God and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they will take up serpents and cut their heads off. Hallelujah. And they will drink anything deadly and by no means hurt them. That does not give you the right to go out and drink cyanide or siphon gas out of gas tanks. You will die. There's a difference between an idiot and a follower. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is what every believer is called to do. Every believer. It's not about denomination or demonization. It's about believing so you can have dominion. Are you listening? This is our call. Every believer, this should be a part of his life, is to be willing to cast out a devil, lay hands on somebody that's sick. Far be it that you should walk by somebody who's bleeding to death and go 911 before you even pray for them. That's not much of a believer. That's a weenie. And they will cast out devils. Does everybody understand? This is what God is calling us to do. God's will for all children is right here. It is common for every believer. It's a part of the purpose, vision, and goal of every believer that is called by Christ Jesus to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. Do you realize how much more this world would be changed if more believers were filled with the Spirit of God instead of still carrying demons from their past? Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. You came for the truth, right? Good. Verse 23. Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. How does this begin? Well, I'll show you right here. Read it with me. And he says, "And I will sanctify my great name." You know how he's going to sanctify it? In you. "Which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." In other words, when I am sanctified and hallowed in you, when everything else in your world does not mean anything more than me. That's called hallowed. He says, "And I'll sanctify my great name in you. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land." Now, there are many of us here from different nationalities that our forefathers have come from different countries, haven't we? See, this is where we need to sever every attachment associated with our nationalities. Because, see, you and I are no longer from where our family has come from. I'm no longer Italian or Sicilian. I'm no longer any part of that. I am Christ from this forth on. See, but it's your responsibility to sever those things. Do you ever hear anyone say that, well, that's just that, like Irish luck or that's just the anger of an Italian or a Spanish or whatever, you know? You see the characters come down that line, the family line. Well, see, it's our responsibility to sever ourselves from every area of our national attachment of our forefathers. Does everybody understand that? So that we are Christ-like now. I'm no longer Italian-like now. I'm Christ-like. Or I'd be giving you an offer you couldn't refuse. Is everybody okay? In verse 25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your" what? Idols. Idols. "I will give you" a what? "A new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now, this is powerful. This is how it begins. First of all, the Lord draws you. And then you begin to realize that there's things that you've done that have offended him, and you don't even understand why. You begin to repent. And as you repent, he begins to change your heart. He begins to take your hardened heart and give you his heart. And he begins to show you things that have become idols in your heart. And he begins to sever certain things as you continue to Repent. And he begins to not only fill you with his Spirit, and he gives you an option, because he'll never force you, but he gives you an option to go a step even further and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he says, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then it's my Spirit will cause you to do my things, to go my way, to observe my statutes. Have you ever been convicted? Well, you had to be, or you wouldn't be here. There's conviction, isn't there? So the Holy Spirit convicts us, but the devil condemns us. So this is how it begins, to impart by the heart. Now let me share something with you. What he does then is he begins to give you a vision or a purpose and goals. There is a vision, purpose, and goals that he begins to put in you. Why? Because he's put your Spirit in you. His Spirit has always got a specific purpose, a vision, and a goal in every area. But there's something that the devil wants to do, and that's to steal it. So it's our responsibility to protect the vision that God gives you. And it's got to be the God-given vision. Are you understanding? It's a vision that's according to his will and not our own. It's an individual vision. There's a common vision that everyone should have, and that's about what we just read about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. That's the common vision for every believer. But then there's another vision and purpose that is individual, that God is specifically giving you. Go to Habakkuk. I believe he's near Micah. He's right after Micah. Habakkuk 2. Protecting your vision. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about. Protecting your vision. Now, I understand there is a common vision for every believer. Every believer has the vision of making it home and, you know, becoming more like Christ. And there should be that other common vision of casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and walking in the power of Christ, because that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in power. And then there's the individual vision that God begins to release to you. And Habakkuk chapter 2, starting at verse 1, would you read it? He said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. See what he's doing? He's looking to see what God is going to say to him. How is he going to see what God is saying to him? Through a vision, through sight. And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Oh, see, you must always be willing to look for a correction from God also. In other words, Lord, show me what I need to do. Well, you need to drop this and pick this up. Or you need to do this. This is correction. And that correction is not condemning. But so many people run when they're corrected, and God is just trying to rescue. And verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the what? Vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who what? Reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. God's will is God's time. But at the end of it, it will what? At the end, it will what? It will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is powerful. So what happens now? He says, so watch and see. Why? Because the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in you now is saying, come on, there's something I'm giving you. And he's always giving you something. He says, watch and see. The Bible says that the vision will speak, doesn't it? He'll speak through the vision. He says, write it down. Make it simple to understand. Declare it or speak it. And by faith, which is the promises of God and his word, speak it. There are visions, goals, and purposes. I want to share something with you, that when God gives you something, there are three types of visions. And I'm going to talk about time. There's long-term, medium-term, and short-term. There's a long-term vision, there's a medium-term vision, and there's a short-term vision. And in these, if you'll begin to understand this, in other words, there's a vision for you to do today. There's something for you to do today. this, then there might be something for this month, this week, or this year. So that would kind of be like a long-term vision, but there is a common vision. Everybody knows that the Lord has given us that we want to all make it home. And we want to, you know, do the Holy Ghost shuffle on the streets of gold and, you know, swim in the rivers of life and so forth. But that's the long term. But then there's a vision that he begins to give you in your spirit that is about what he's asking you to do. But he never really reveals the total end part. Are you listening? Because what he does is he begins to give you the vision, the purpose, or the goal for today, which will end up establishing you for tomorrow. And it continues on. So there's a daily vision, purpose, or goal for you every day. Then there's that short-term vision. What are you to do today? Well, you're maintaining your everything that you're doing right now, whether it be short-term or medium-term vision, is always in preparing for your long-term vision. So what you're doing is you're going through training right now to fulfill the long-term vision. God just does not throw you in the long-term vision. He prepares you for the long-term vision. Are you listening? So there's that today vision, there's that this month vision, and then there's this year vision, which is a representation of purpose or goal that he's imparted in you. Is everybody okay? You know, too many people get too granola with this vision stuff. Well, I got a vision and I'm going to do it and this and that. Well, they're trying to do the long-term vision without fulfilling today's vision. And that's why they never make it to the long-term one. Are you listening? Because God will not fulfill your long-term vision until you're fulfilling today's vision, the short-term and the medium-term. Now, when he says write it down, you know, you write it down on paper. You know, now I have this problem. I write it down on paper, then I lose the paper. But see, if it's really written in your spirit or in your heart, you never lose it, do you? So that's why you don't have to focus on the long-term vision. You focus on today's vision. Because what you're fulfilling today is preparing you for tomorrow. And then you have medium-term visions, you know. You know the long-term vision, but it's all got to be according to God's time and not yours. And so many times we jump to that long-term vision. Yeah, this is what it is. Okay, I got it. God gave it to me. And then it doesn't work out because you've not fulfilled or been prepared to step into that puzzle, the long-term vision. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. In verse 18, Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Is everybody there? Now, I want to explain something. A revelation, God will give you a revelation. Majority of the revelations are for today. Majority of them. Some of them are for warning of what's coming. Some of them are for preparation to do something or be prepared to receive something. Some of them are for direction. But God will give you a revelation. It's a part of the vision every single day in some way whatsoever. That is your daily vision, daily revelation. In verse 18, is everybody with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. So what begins to happen when individuals, remember, revelation is vision in short term. It will support the long term or medium term vision. We must always keep in mind and in spirit that what you're going through today is to prepare you for tomorrow. It is going to not only this vision, the revelation that God will give you today will support and promote your long term vision. Now listen. In this revelation every single day that God gives you, without one, when people are not looking, because the Bible says watch and see, then what happens is we cast off restraints. In other words, we just let things go. We allow the enemy in to come and steal the vision, the purpose, or the goal. And then we just go, oh, well, whatever. Instead of protecting. See, you must protect what God has given you. Everything that God gives you, you're to protect. So when he gives you things, you turn it over to him and you ask for direction. The Bible says, make no place for the devil. So God is going to give you a revelation daily, some kind of impartation that is going to support for you today to support the vision. Why? Because he's preparing you for the final goal, isn't he? Is everybody okay? So when people don't get something that day, and that's why we should get something every day. Listen, the Lord is talking to you every morning. Every day he's saying, look, read this psalm, read this proverb, do this, do that. There's some kind of revelation that he's giving you every single day so that you don't just throw off or cast off restraints, so that you continue to maintain and protect what he's given you, or else you'll let down your guard and the protection will be lifted. Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Ezekiel 18. Remember, your daily revelation is to support and fulfill the goal of the vision. Ezekiel 18. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't have a vision. Yes, you do. You have a goal today, don't you? Well, I might not have a long-term vision. It's okay. The long-term vision is already established. See yourself dancing in the streets of gold. Your long-term vision is get home. But, you know, God begins to unfold certain things in his timing. Not everything is being laid out. In other words, God doesn't show up with his blueprint and said, okay, this is how you're going to do it, and here is the end result. He doesn't do that. It'd be nice could we try to alter the blueprints. We'd ask him to change a couple things. You know, we'd even want to fire the architect sometimes, you know, and hire another one. So that's why he doesn't do it that way, because it's by faith. Faith means promises of God. Faith means trusting, relying, and believing in his word. That's faith. So you're making connection to the other side and not this side. Too many people want to run because they're not getting what they want. Well, God's not giving me this, so I'm leaving. I'm going to run. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'll find another way. Well, it's not God's way to find another way. It's because you haven't fulfilled what God has given you for today. You must fulfill everyday vision to grow. Remember, God is preparing you for the long-term vision. What you don't fulfill today, you'll have to fulfill the next day. Or the next day until you finally fulfill what he's called you to do for that day. In Ezekiel 18, in verse 31, the Bible says what? Cast away from you all the what? Transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So what's he saying? He says, listen, every day you must protect that vision. You must protect your heart. You must protect what's been written by God into your heart and in your spirit. Every single day you protect it. So what do? You cast off stuff. You cast things away. Everything you're doing is casting things away that can contaminate your heart and your vision. Because if your heart gets contaminated, so will your vision. Is everybody with me? Cast away and get a new heart to maintain the new heart. And must protect your heart from contaminants and loss of your vision. Now, one of the areas that the devil loves to contaminate us is with idols. And I'll talk about that in a second. But first, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. So every day, what are you looking for? You're looking for the revelation. You're watching to see for today. You're watching to see for today. What you get today will prepare you for tomorrow. And next thing you know, that vision, something is unfolding that month or within that couple months. And as you're fulfilling those things, within 6 to 8, 9 months later, all of a sudden you're beginning to find out, whoa, there's something coming about here that I know that, man, now you can look back and go, man, I know the Lord has been preparing me for this the whole time. And then within that year, something begins to happen. It's like, whoa. And then you look back and go, man, and here I was kicking and bucking and struggling and all this stuff. And here God was giving to me every day. And I realized that there were sometimes I had to back up to fulfill what I didn't fulfill so I could go forward. In 1 Peter chapter 5, is everybody there? Would you start at verse something? Is everybody there? Verse 6. Come on, you didn't see verse something in there? Therefore what? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. There's a three-letter word that goes with humble. It's called die. See, dead men cannot justify, can they? They're dead. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Doing what? Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In other words, don't pick up any more burdens. Stop. Everybody must work out their own salvation. Hello? In other words, it's like, what can you do that God can't? So stop picking up burdens. And when you pick stuff up that you shouldn't, cast it over to the Lord. Why? Because you don't want to contaminate your heart. See, burdens can contaminate your heart. People get so caught up in heavy burdens that they become oppressed. And then they begin to lose vision. And they lose revelation. They begin to let off restraints and cast off restraints. Next thing you know, that person is backslidden and going, man, how'd you get here? Well, you know, I'm just tired of this and tired of that. And then they become whiners instead of winners. So he says here, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And verse 8, read it with me. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Well, man, he's looking to kick your butt and steal your vision. The Bible says resist him. In other words, protect the vision. Protect your heart. Resist him steadfast in the what? Those are the promises of God. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, so you can be confident and comfortable that you're not the only one. So when a devil tells you, I'm the only one like this, you're not. So you can be confident and comfortable that you're not the only one going through stuff. And verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, and I believe that's self-suffering, that he, after you've suffered a while, that he will what? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you see the N word is settle you? Why? Because you ain't settled when you ain't when you're suffering. But I believe that's self-afflicted suffering. Why? Because you've picked up burdens. You've contaminated your heart somewhere, and you've cast off restraints. You didn't get vision that day, or revelation, or the Lord was trying to bring it to you, but you couldn't get it because you're too busy with a burden. How many of y'all, sickness can be a burden? Fear, anxiety, stress, addiction is a burden. All of these things that the world loves to put upon us, a burden. Peer pressure is a burden. But we're to cast these off. Cast these off. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Ezekiel 14. See, if you keep casting your cares, then what's going to happen, it will help you to keep waiting for the revelations to support your vision by protecting your vision. So your revelation daily is going to protect your vision. Does everybody get it? God will give you a revelation daily to protect your vision. Not only support it, but protect it. In Ezekiel 14, we're going to start at verse 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. I'm sharing with you one of the things that will steal your vision is idols in your heart. Idols. anything that is between you and God. There are things that you don't even realize are between you and God. Anything that prevents you from fulfilling the will of God. Anything is an idol. It's associated with this world and is delivered graciously by the devil. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of it at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. So there is a way of escape, isn't there? It's called repent. That's a wonderful thing about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You can always start over. You know, but why start over? You know, don't look for starting over, man. Do the first run all the way, you know. Don't do more multiple runs. It makes it a little bit difficult. Just go all the way the first time. But he says here, this is one of the things that contaminate our hearts. The devil always has something to destroy, kill, or steal. And that is your vision, your purpose, and your goal. And these are the things that God wants you to protect. But he says you can't let idols get into your heart. See, the devil loves to come to you with false vision, false goals. He loves to replace or exchange the vision of God for the vision of him. And his vision is always self-promoting arrogance and pride. See, one of the major idols that's in our heart is us. Self. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself, which is the idol in your heart. Deny yourself. Then you can pick up your cross and follow him. See, that was that short-term vision. Following him is the long-term vision and completion. So we see we first must deny ourselves so we can get today's revelation. Then we can pick up the cross and then follow him. Every day you must protect those idols that's in your heart. In other words, you see these things come before your face. Things that you desire. Some people struggle for things that they desire, but they're really not God's desires. Where there is the desire there, see, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack or want. See, the only thing that we want is the will of God to manifest in our life. So wherever there is, you know, there are people still hunting for opposite sex. Opposite, you know, they went, oh, I need to get married to be fulfilled. Oh, I need a job to be fulfilled. Well, see, these are idols that are in the heart. Because your fulfillment does not come from anyone or anything but God. And our purpose to be fulfilled in this is when we're doing God's will, we know that there's a fulfillment because we're doing his will because we're pleasing him. So when you get your revelation daily and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, know that it's supporting the long-term vision. It's protecting today's vision, isn't it? So in this, we've got to understand that we've got to constantly search ourselves. What idol? You'll see this come before you every day. You know, people who are addicted, you know, they can't shake off that. That's all they see is that idol of addiction. Their whole heart's desire is to use, use, and use. Same thing with fornication, pornography, and all of this other stuff is to use. These are idols in the heart that need to be severed. Does everybody understand? Okay. Go to Zechariah 10. You know, some people make their sickness an idol. Oh. Why? They focus more on their sickness. Zechariah in chapter 10. Some people make their children an idol. Their spouse is an idol. Their job's an idol. But I love my children. Well, let me tell you somebody who loves them more than you. His name is Jesus. You know, everybody starts their walk with the Lord. I'm letting go and letting God. Unfortunately, that might last 20 minutes for some. And as they begin to grow more and more, then it lasts a day or two. And as they begin more, it lasts a week. Some of them, it lasts 6 months, and then they, whoop! I forget. Oh, yeah, let me. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to cast this over again. Okay. You know, there's that place where we got to constantly let go and let God. That's casting away, casting down, loosing yourself from these entanglements and affairs of the world. And Zechariah chapter 10, is everybody there? In verse 2. Ooh, yeah. Are you ready for this? Read it with me. For the idols speak. Oh, come on, say that again. For the idols speak delusion. Say it again. For the idols speak delusion. Are you listening? You know, for some people, their clothes are idols. They got to have the best of everything. They determine who they are by their clothing. Some people, their jewelry is, well, look at who I am. I have a Mr. T starter kit. Yes. You know, some people's idols are their automobiles. They live in shacks. They got to beg for money, but boy, they drive the best car around. Hello. This is where idols. Why? Because they speak delusion, don't they? They speak what? Delusion. Ooh. For the idols speak delusion. Diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wing their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd or no one that will tell them. Too many weenies. Listen, we stand for the truth, man. It's the truth that sets us free. I know you didn't come here to get your ears tickled. You came for the truth. And it's our responsibility to stand before God and know the truth. So remember, these idols will speak lies. They cause delusion. That's why we've got to constantly cast away these idols in every area. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? Yeah, you can begin to see those categories of idols. You know, they come up like software. You know, I'm going to share something with you. Offense is an idol. If you've been offended, you've established an idol in your heart. Are you listening? Why? You're supposed to cast it off. If you've been offended, you've established an idol in your heart and you're to cast it off. Why? Because it will cause you, it will speak to you delusions, won't it? I mean, it'll tell you all kinds of stuff, doesn't it? And then next thing you know, you're listening to the voice of the stranger and he's telling you all kinds of things that ain't true. And then he's moving you further and further and further away from fellowship. And then what happens is you cast off restraints. And you'll be willing to receive anything. And the next thing you know, you're out of God's will. You've lost the vision. You didn't get revelation. And you're tormented. Does everybody understand? See, offense can be one of the strongest idols that you can have imparted in your heart. It becomes an idol and it speaks delusions. It lies to you. And it tells you, then it causes you to not trust people. Well, I can't trust people because this one offended me. Actually, you allowed the offense because you have the choice to accept it or reject it. You have the choice to what? Accept it or reject it. The Bible tells us everybody's going to get offended. You're not going to like everything, are you? But it doesn't mean you're supposed to agree with the offense. You're supposed to cut it loose, cast it away. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah, we getting there. Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Read it with me. And what agreement has the temple of God with... Are you the temple of God? Then what agreement do you have with an idol? Is offense an idol? Is lust an idol? Can a job be an idol? Can your children be an idol? Oh, yeah. Can fame be an idol? Clothing, jewelry, cash. Yourself. That's me, myself, and I. It's a trinity of darkness. So he says, what agreement do those who are believers that are temples of the living God, what agreement do you have? Or should you have with idols? For you are the temple of living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you do this. If you come out from among them, from these idols and cast off these idols, protect your heart that you'll protect the vision. And be separated, says the Lord. And do not touch and do not touch. And then don't touch. And then stop touching. You know, you can touch in your thoughts. You can touch things by what you hear. You can touch things by what you see. You can touch things by what you feel. And it can be all the wrong thing. And once you've touched it, you've come in agreement with it. And it's promoted, produced an idol into your heart, which prevents you from getting revelation daily, which is going to support your long-term and short-term vision. And then that idol will lie to you. Does everybody get it? So we must constantly cast these off. We do not want to come in agreement with them. He says, listen, if you'll stop touching and agree with them, then I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. That's what they call idolatry. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Protecting your vision. No wimps. No whiners. Winners. You got to fight, don't you? You got to be a fighter. God, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink, please. Fill us and kill us, Lord, that you may live. Fill us and kill us. We welcome overflow and fill us here today. Because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. It is also an idol. A stronghold is an idol. Why? Because it lies to you. It causes delusions. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Being what? Ready. Ready. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready. Listen, you know when you picked up that idol. It begins to lie to you and you can sense that torment. You can sense that the enemy has got access to you. You don't have to figure out how he got access to you. You'll be able to see it. Why? Because you can see those idols in the spirit. You'll be getting to sever them, cast them. How about emotional attachments? Are they idols? You betcha. That's why it's important to sever every emotional attachment with people, places, and things daily. Daily. And verse 7. Do you look at the things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Now listen. This is where God wants us to walk in his image and likeness and character. you know, one of the things we must do is continue to protect the vision. The long-term, medium-term, and short-term vision. If you're not fulfilling the short-term, you'll never make it to the medium-term. And if you're not fulfilling that, you won't make it to the long-term. And what hinders you from getting this vision and revelations is idols in the heart. Things that the enemy loves to put across your path. So we must cast these things down, these delusions that the idols produce. Go to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll close here. Now, there are three areas that we got to understand that will help us protect. Not only are we casting these things down, but see, you won't even recognize these areas unless you're an individual who prays. If you don't pray, you don't play. Because a person that doesn't pray usually gets crippled. Prayer. If you're not a person of prayer, you won't discern. Worship. If you're not a worshiper, you won't be fulfilled. You're asking God to do things for you, but yet you can't worship Him. You need to get off your blessed assurance and do something. You must be an individual who prays and who worships the Lord. Why? Because that's what brings denial of self and humbleness. And you must be an individual that knows authority. Knows authority. What? Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. Knows authority. Cast away those restraints in the area of bondage to idols. Does everybody get it? Because the devil loves to bind you to those idols in your heart. But as you pray every day, you'll be able to see them come up before your face. You'll see them and you'll be able to sever them. You'll see that when you're getting ready to do something, there's always something that comes up that begins to hinder you. You know it. There's that idol in the heart. Some of them are called corruptible seeds. That's where you got to kill those seeds so they don't grow and bear fruit for His glory. You want the fruit for God's glory, not the devil's glory. You know, if you get around somebody and they tell you you got stinky fruit, receive it. Not the fruit. Understand and search it out. What's happening? Why do my fruit stink? Because there's idols in your heart. And it's preventing the revelation of that day to support the vision. Does everybody get this? So you got to be an individual that's of prayer, worship, and authority. Everybody say prayer,
prayer.
Worship, worship, and authority.
Authority.
That's me. Verse 17. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is what? Come on, read it with me. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. It means that when you do something stupid, you shake it off, you repent quickly. The longer it takes you to repent, the more you reap. Submit to God, resist the devil. That's why some people can't resist the devil, because they're not submitting to God. To me, I always look at it as a measuring tool. How much you can resist the devil is how much you're submitting to God. And verse 18 again. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Isn't that powerful? We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Remember, idols speak delusions to you. They will prevent the vision of God that He's given you to come to pass. You must be an individual of prayer, worship, and authority. Prayer, worship, and authority. If you are a person of prayer, worship, and authority, all of this is abounding to protect the anointing. Because it's only the anointing that will help you keep the vision. Do y'all get it? See, if you're an individual of prayer, worship, and authority, you're all abounding to protect the anointing that protects the vision. So you're protecting not only your heart in this area from idols, but you're protecting the anointing that God has placed in your life, which is able to keep the vision. Amen? Praise God. Everybody okay? Did you get it? Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed to be your children and for impartation. I apply the blood of the Lamb upon every seed that would grow and bear fruit for your glory, and every corruptible seed would wither and die that's parted in us. I rebuke all fear, religiosity, and pride and arrogance in this house. I command all sickness and disease to loose the people of God, all bondage and mind-binding spirits and torment to loose the people of God. Every label that's been placed over anyone in this room that would bring an offense or an idol to the living God, I break and loose them from right now in the name of Jesus. And I send forth your word to their spirit, soul, and body and flesh by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody here be made whole. And that revelation would come to fulfill the vision that you've established. Not only is it written, but it's written in our hearts, that we may watch and see how we should answer to your corrections to us and fulfill your will in each and every one here today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.